Cincinnati is in a perfect location for avid college basketball fans with major teams like Xavier, UC, UK, Louisville, UD, and Ohio State within easy driving distance. Therefore, many of us have been following the career of Rick Pitino since his stint at UK as head basketball coach and then his return to coaching at the University of Louisville. With me on the phone is the author of a book about the scandal which hit NCAA basketball last fall and impacted Louisville's program, along with the athletic director and head coach Rick Pitino. Michael Sokolov, welcome to Around Cincinnati.
Thank you very much. Happy to be with you.
How soon after the FBI's announcement in September 2017 did you start working on your book, The Last Temptation of Rick Pitino?
Almost immediately. I talked to my editor at Penguin Press, and we decided that this would be a great book, and I got right to work. You know, I don't want to say the next day, but pretty close.
Well, let's begin by going into the story of the amateur athletic union teams across the country and the beginnings of corruption with those young players.
Well, the grassroots basketball circuit, as it's called, is composed of what are called AAU or amateur athletic union teams. And it's funny that the word amateur is in it because, you know, what goes on in that circuit sort of gives lie to the word amateur, because from a very young age, and I'm talking fifth or sixth grade, talented young kids are coveted. They're showered with gear from the sports apparel company, sneakers and shirts and socks. And it goes on up from there to hotel rooms for their tournaments, and then for the good players, hotel rooms for their families. And, you know, then pretty quickly we get into cash and all kinds of other benefits.
And Louisville's college program is a perfect example of the money problems that can happen with those sports clothing lines that get involved in working with all of those players. Talk about Tom Urich.
Well, he was a visionary athletic director at the University of Louisville and really did a terrific job, as he understood his job, of building an athletic program where one barely existed. And they had a pretty good basketball tradition, but that was on the downside by the time he got there. He hired Rick Pitino, the legendary coach. The football program was nowhere. He built that up. And, you know, the whole athletic department, you know, as he put it to me, we had a swimmer win a gold medal at the Olympics barely a few years after we could afford to put chlorine in the pool. So he built it up, but he also built a prototype powerhouse NCAA athletic program with all the benefits and all the problems that are associated with this. And one of the things that he did, one of his last acts, was negotiating a $160 million contract with Adidas, the sports apparel company, to sponsor Louisville Athletics. And it turned out that Adidas, at that very time, one of their people, the government says, was in the course of bribing a recruit or a recruit's family to play basketball for the University of Louisville.
Well, that was one of the questions I was going to ask about, was Brian Bowen Jr., whose father was implicated, and Christian Dawkins, who was part of the scandal also.
Yes. Well, Christian Dawkins, you know, was what's called a street agent or a runner, a person on the grassroots scene whose business was connecting young players and their families with college coaches and often with professional agents, which the NCAA does not allow, and ultimately with the NBA. And his game was then to try to represent these people once they became pros. And he was the one who came to the University of Louisville when Bowen's family visited. And Christian Dawkins, a young guy, wears nice clothes, carries three cell phones, has sort of a smooth way of talking. And he was pretty well known on the circuit. Rick Pitino, who prides himself on knowing, you know, everything in his program, he's a street smart New Yorker, he said he just thought that Christian Dawkins was a family friend of the Bowen family. And that strikes a lot of people as a little hard to believe, because most people on the circuit either knew Dawkins or, if they encountered him, would have known his business.
And Rick Pitino was making around $8 million a year. He took his team to three Final Fours, national championship, which was later vacated along with 4 years of win. And each of his last 3 years coaching, the program turned a $30 million profit. He must have felt bulletproof at that point.
Well, I think he would have felt bulletproof because he had survived two other scandals. One of them was a personal sexual scandal. It was embarrassing. He survived it. The second one was 4 years of parties in the basketball dorm, which is a small building not far from where Coach Pitino's office was. 4 years of parties involving a local escort and strippers and sexual favors for young basketball players. And he said he knew nothing about that. The guy who knew everything that happened in this program knew nothing about that. And he blamed it on a staff member. He said this staff member didn't listen to me. I told him to follow the rules, and he must not have listened to me. In corporate America, you can't get away with that. In the fantasy land of college sports, he did get away with that. This last scandal, he thought the same thing would happen. He said, I didn't know anything about the money that was paid to Brian Bowen Jr. Must have been, if it happened, somebody who didn't follow the rules, as I told them to follow the rules. Well, Louisville finally had enough at that point and showed him the door. He is suing for $35 million left on his contract. Now, keep in mind that Bowen's family supposedly received $19,500. That would have been 0.25% of the annual salary of $8 million that was coming to Pitino. And I point that out not, you know, as a math lesson, because I'm not good at math to begin with, but just that so clearly demonstrates the inequality in college sports between the labor force, which is the players, and the people who are in charge of them.
The FBI investigation focused on 8 Division I teams, including Louisville and Arizona. Sean Miller from Arizona suspended only one game. Pitino seems to be the only coach fired. What's the probe's current status, and when do the trials get underway?
The first of 3 trials of 3 defendants began yesterday. It's going to go on for as long as 4 weeks. And, you know, you point out correctly that there have not been consequences for the top level of people in college basketball. One of the defense lawyers said, this is like Enron, except they brought us the secretaries as defendants. You know, there's something to that. Other head coaches have sort of survived so far. We'll see if they survive what comes out during these trials. I think there's a lot of head-in-the-sand behavior right now, people just hoping it passes. And, you know, honestly, it might. They may survive.
Well, I found it really fascinating, your discussion of the inner workings of the NCAA and all of the money that's the billions of dollars that is being earned by the NCAA. And in the prologue of your book, you say that the sport of basketball has never been clean since it's a magnet for gamblers, hustlers, and cons. How can the basketball program be cleaned up?
Well, you know, I wrote that, and first of all, I wanted this book. It is nonfiction, and I'm a nonfiction writer, but I feel like what has gone on here is novelistic. It's a morality tale. There are big characters like Pitino. There are fascinating small characters. And college basketball is a little like boxing was back in the day. There are a lot of people on the periphery with their hands out or their hands in other people's pockets. So how do you clean it up? I mean, the easiest way to clean it up is to pay the players, is to really pay them for their labor and to figure out a way to do that. Because what you've got right now is just the situation where the NCAA operates with this fiction that this is an amateur enterprise. But what they really mean by that is we're all getting paid, but the players, they're amateurs. And the families out on the basketball circuit are smart, and they're savvy, and they're sophisticated in some cases, and they know the score. They know the deep unfairness of this, and they know there's money out there, and when it's offered, they often take it. And, you know, it may not be pretty, but it's human nature, and that's what happens. So the way it gets cleaned up is to pay the labor force, and that's the young players.
Thanks for taking us behind the scenes of NCAA basketball in this book, Michael.
Thank you very much. I enjoyed talking to you.
I've been in conversation with Michael Sokolov, the author of the book, The Last Temptation of Rick Pitino, a story of corruption scandal in the big business of college basketball. You'll find a link at wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. I'm Lee Hay.